Once again, we're back here, and I'm coming up at the bottom of the hour here with Literary Partners Group on the bookshelf with Alicia Mann, and one of the things that I found, and I'm sure you'd like to relate to people being from Poland, what are the challenges of writing a book in English?
Well, the writing itself is a great challenge, and just to as a form of art, because I'm talking about writing not about things, but from yourself, from within yourself, from the core. Right. It's already a challenge to write. And let's see that the professional book writing makes horse racing seem like a solid, stable business, said John Steinbeck.
Yes.
And Susan Sontag, a very well-known writer, of course, she did say something that when you accumulate, what you accumulate as a writer are mostly uncertainties and anxieties. So those are famous people who saw how difficult writing is. So the writing in another language, in language is not your tongue, your native tongue, is extra challenge. And then somebody says, why did you not get yourself ghostwriter? Okay. But I didn't, and I never even thought about it, because I consider writing to be art, and I wanted to do that art. So I went through a lot of time of translating and tuning my English as much as I could. And the challenge here is that was that at some point in order to really master that language, I had to abandon, not to forget, but to really focus so much on English that to not read in Polish, to just reject it for a while till I get secure in English. That is, like my mom would want to send me some magazines. I say, no, I don't want to read it. I have to strengthen my English first. And that's how it was. Enormous discipline it took from me on my part, but also pain, because when I finally started to write in English and I achieved that, my parents were not very excited about it because they couldn't read it. They couldn't understand it. So it was a drama there, that here you are proud and happy that you finally managed to get assignments and you're writing, and your parents go like blah, because they cannot share it with you. They're far away, they can't appreciate it, and they still wish you would be a scientist. So
Gosh, that was quite a challenge in your life.
Yeah, right. So, but I am very happy that I made that change.
Well, you moved from Massachusetts to Arizona. Was there a particular reason that you did that?
Yes, I did move from Massachusetts, which I really like. It's a beautiful state and very much home for me. But I decided that if you come here and as an immigrant, if you make home, why not to live another place? Sort of like another immigration.
Right.
But I could only do it when my children got educated and graduated from school, so I could have that freedom. And I thought I would go back after 2 years, but I didn't. And
but you do take some time off in the summer to go back and jump in the salt water and enjoy the culture.
Absolutely.
Believe me, I know I spent many a wonderful summer as a teenager around some of the communities that you visit, and it's a welcome change.
Right, but I love Arizona, especially Tucson area here with the mountains. There's something very charming about that area for me. I call it Call of the Southwest. I'm really like living here. But recently, I'm getting very upset about situation politically in Arizona, especially from the times when our governor of Arizona did sign the immigration law, which I totally disagree with.
You do? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I really don't think it's a good law. Mm-hmm. I think it's very divisive. It divides us. Most of all, I don't think it will be effective. It's just wrong because it does it will be very hard not to do any racial profiling. Mm-hmm. Most of immigrants in Arizona are Mexicans, mm-hmm. People who came from Mexico, and they are different color. It is very hard to imagine that they will not be stopped and questioned for mm-hmm. and ask for the mm-hmm. Documents to prove their status in this country, in this state, and we become like police state. Mm-hmm. So here will be, and there are so many immigrants from Mexico who work here, live here, mm-hmm. and it is a very complex issue, but it could be solved differently. Mm-hmm. And think about this otherness. We are, instead of being together, we will be divided. We already divided by this. Mm-hmm. People who are brown color would be resenting yeah. that. So either, and then policemen in very bad situation of being these bad guys. And so we are like three groups mm-hmm. of people, like mm-hmm. instead of one together state. And so here we go, this otherness, you see,
yeah,
which is instead of embracing others, we are going to create the otherness.
It's certainly a complex issue, and it's the fats in the fire now, and hopefully with our country, and as you say, the freedom we have.
I think it's responding, people responding to it very strongly, and that is very, very, very hopeful. And I believe that if we do have to have these papers, everybody should have them, or nobody.
Well, you're right, and I understand that very well. By the way, we have a number to call, 529-3508, if you'd like to talk to Alicia on this. And we'll be talking, certainly you can talk to her as well on Saturday the 10th of July. And this is an issue that, of course, the whole idea of immigration and whatnot is certainly front burner item. I know she'll be glad to talk to you as well on that. We're going to take a minute here. In a minute, we're going to break. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about, when you see the contrast between the Cape Cod and that whole subculture and the culture of southern Arizona, do you see that it is really kind of a stretch to be in one country as big as this is? Or do you find that it complements the totality of the culture, bringing many people together under one domestic umbrella?
I kind of like that, the second picture, because that is beauty of America.
No, of course.
That's what this country is about. It was based on immigration.
Sure.
Immigrants having this... they hard worker. They willing to risk a lot.
Right.
The people who come here, they have special characteristics that this country is beneficial to this country.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Am I going on the?
No problem. So this is something that we'll continue to move forward on.
I am going to talk.
Well, I think we have a call coming in. Greg is on the phone.
Yes.
And would you put your earphones on, and you can listen to Greg. Greg, are you there?
I am, Andy. Hey, this is it's so wonderful to hear. Is it Alicia? Is that how
That's
pronounce
correct.
It?
Yes, Alicia.
I think it's Alicia.
It's very hard to pronounce it because it's A-L-I-C-J-A is pronounced like an European J-Yot, like Johann Sebastian Bach. So it's Alicia, but it's Alicia. You can call me Alicia. No, don't call me Alice, though.
Well, listen, here's my view of it. My heritage is from a place near Kiev.
Oh.
And my grandfather came over, and, you know, sometimes, like, I found myself almost embarrassed for the fact that many Americans do look askance on somebody with an accent, but it's a little different. And quite frankly, this whole issue with the border, I've often asserted that we should actually allow many, many more immigrants, and this is a huge country we have here, plenty of land, and I think that some of my ancestors, when they first arrived, there were Jewish groups that actually helped provide for them, gave them a piece of land in New Jersey and some tools and helped them work it. And, you know, the money that we spend on the border, it's insane with the Border Patrol and Customs. And now, about 8 out of 10 talk shows, of course, that's all you hear about is this new law in Arizona.
Right.
And
right.
We got to keep the illegals out.
But it's good. We need to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Andy, I know you probably have other callers, but it's refreshing to hear, number one,
May I just make a comment? I think that you're absolutely right. Instead of putting that money into building the walls, we should really spend some time and energy to really limit and focus on limiting corporate powers and influences. So, I think it's a little bit too much focus on that right now, as if we need some excuses for something was wrong, something is bad in this country, and we're forgetting who put us into the situation in this country. Not immigrants, not the illegal immigrants, as much as think about the corporates, the banks, the insurance companies, they really did damage this. What we are in situation right now because of the excessive power and greed of big corporations, and that has to be changed.
Just ask the people at AIG, and they'll give you firsthand knowledge of how the system works. I wanted to mention that. Sometimes when I was used to work in Los Angeles in carpentry and construction, I did remodeling. It was a one-man operation, but occasionally I needed a helper for the job. So I would drive down to the Home Depot in Santa Monica, and generally there were 8 or 10 or 15 different men willing to work for the day. I didn't go about checking their papers. I did improve my Spanish, however, in hiring them. And, the fact that that's against the law, in itself, is ludicrous, because then I was able to feed my family, do the job, and the people worked hard, and I paid them fairly. And if they had been white or Native American or Chinese, it didn't matter. It's just that I needed the help. So who knows? Maybe with shows like Andy's and with the discussions like these, maybe we can help to change some people's minds.
Well, thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you very much, Greg. Hello. Oh, he's gone.
Let's take a minute here for a brief station break or commercial message, and we'll be back with Alicia Mann, Looking at the World Twice on the Bookshelf.